One of the biggest lies that the devil could ever tell you is that you're alone in your circumstance, that you're alone in your struggle, in your hardship. But the Bible promises us that he will never leave us and he's never going to forsake us. Amen? Praise God. We can stand upon the promise of his word. I am pleased to, you can be seated. I am very pleased to bring one more person to the front behind this pulpit, a wonderful young lady who has blessed us with her presence in our youth group. She just moved here about a month ago. We'd like to have Sister Hannah Stanfield come and give us a poem, spoken word.
Hi there. I'm very excited to share this with you. I really feel God's just put it in my heart to share with you guys, and I wrote it for that, I wrote it for that talent show, and then I guess it got canceled, but I guess God had a purpose in everything. So the title is Power, and I pray you receive something from it, because every time I read it to myself, I do. He made a way. I was lost, and I guess I'm supposed to say, now I'm found. Realizing what being found actually meant to me. It's more than just actions in the game of hide and seek. It's a spiritual finding, something not seen by the eye. Because whether I realized it or not, I was hidden. For the past few years, I hid behind closed doors, hush-hushes, and that sudden realization that I needed to be found. It wasn't the thought or creation from the mind that I had been lost. It was the fact that my spiritual GPS wasn't leading me in the right path. And that's only because in my head, my spiritual side thought partying was a trade, that hanging out with the crowd was the righteous thing to do. That not only was I confusing myself, but the ones that assumed they knew me best, because I was hidden. Through the front door, down the stairs, to the basement, I lived there, not just physically, but spiritually. For a while, I kept my spirit hidden. And bondage became my trade. I was enslaved by a sinful fame. And it was true. They all knew my name, just not my face. And if they knew my face, they didn't know my reasoning. And if they didn't know my reasoning, it was the fact that they knew I was in hiding. And I not only hid my spirit, but the power God gave me. No one knew that I could pray through to you. The power that consumed me, creating a new life within me, it was hidden. You see, my family at home didn't realize that they had power in their basement, not realizing that there was a connection to God from the deepest part of their home, that all my words had power, and when I spoke out, they didn't begin to imagine that wisdom flooded the airways between words and sounds, that angels flooded the dark room down underneath the floorboards every day and night, that a presence so heavy saturating all spiritual, and then I began speaking so spoken, out loud, breaking silence with the destruction of voice, listening to that hidden desire to serve and then following it first before last. And I questioned, do you realize your words speak volume? That power rolls off your very tongue? That singing in church to simple worship songs were a deep heart cry from beneath waiting to be freed? And then began a sudden flood of emotion so deeply saturated inside your membrane to the very soles of your feet. And you felt it sweep across your legs, creating a wave of a sudden spiritual flood and began to carry you out to the sea of forgetfulness. You do realize it's not you, it's God, right? It's his guidance to for those lifeless shadows to that life-filled light. And we realize that, yes, we sometimes keep ourselves hidden. And that power given to us is masked by our flesh we attire in and then splashed with a colorful coat of skin. He gave us the ability to attempt to blend, but made us to stand out. So I leave you with this. We are not meant to hide whom God has made us to be. And we have so much power stored up, ready to burst inside of us. And it only takes that first single slight movement of either a spiritual or a physical foot called a step. and released in the airways as power, spoken loudly with action so unnoticeably they speak louder than any microphone speech or scream could prepare the heart, ears, or mind. Because you, my friend, have began to think about releasing power, so much that the whole world unseen is disrupted and crashed in sights and scenes and is shaken by the foundation to be awakened by power. Thank you.
Praise God. Thank you so much for that, Hannah. Praise God. We have some awesome young people. Amen. Very talented, using those talents to glorify God. It's awesome. Without further ado, this morning we had a very wonderful man come and minister to us. We had an awesome service with Brother Rick Bailey, and we have him and his wife here with us tonight, sitting over there by our pastor of student ministries and his wife, and Brother Tim's lovely family here as well. And I am very pleased to bring him to to speak to us tonight. The very first time I ever met Brother Tim Vick was all the way back many years ago at senior camp. He was the fun-loving, awesome dorm dad that convinced me that a Tic Tac was a sleeping pill, and I fell for it, falling fast asleep 5 minutes after he gave it to me and waking up thanking him for the sleeping pill, only to see that face. Carl, that was a Tic Tac. Brother Tim, will you please come minister to us tonight? Let's give him a round of applause. Love you, bro.
Amen. Let's give some glory to the Lord, and let's just let him know that he continues to be welcome in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I praise you. I magnify you. You are a wonderful God. You are the one and only true God, Jesus. You are welcome in this place, and I ask in Jesus' name that our hearts and mind would continue to be open to what it is that you have for us this evening. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would speak to us. Let my words be what it is that you want to hear and say this evening. In Jesus' wonderful name, can we say amen? Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. It is an honor to be here. I give honor to Pastor Grant, Pastor Roy. Thank you so much for being here. And I also give honor to Cecily and Carla. I want your church to know that your young people are an amazing example to the young people of the state of Wisconsin. And they are definitely an example wherever they are. And parents, you're doing a great job. Cecily, Carl, you're doing an awesome job. And young people, you're awesome. And I'm privileged to be here. Amen. Amen. I'm excited. My wife and children were able to be here. I think one of them is already asleep. So you've accomplished what I was hoping that I'd be able to accomplish, put them to bed tonight. So thank you for that. Amen. But I'm excited to be here. I could go on. So many friends and heroes of my youth that are here this evening, but I want to jump right into the Word. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 tells us a little story or a little bit about Moses, and I want to kick off the sermon this evening with this scripture. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 23. If you have your phone, iPad, or anything like that, go ahead and turn that app on. Amen. Or if you actually have a physical Bible in the room, praise the Lord. Hebrews 11, 23 tells us this: by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I want to speak a couple of minutes on probably a very unique title here, but it has a reason for it, about bumblebees, cockroaches, buzzards, and the lily trotter. Bumblebees, cockroaches, buzzards, and the lily trotter. Sorry, sound man, I don't know if that'll fit on the CD cover. Amen. Why don't we one more time go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you so much again. Amen. We couldn't say it enough times in songs and word and in prayer that you truly are welcome in this place. And we would be remiss to gather here this evening and do things on our own. And Jesus, we just ask that you would have your way this evening, that your spirit would be felt. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would continue to do a great thing this evening. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go ahead and have a seat. Since at least the late 1930s, the concept of a secret identity has been intriguing to our nation and to our nation's youths. You see, it was in the 1930s that the hero Superman was born. Clark Kent, a mild-mannered reporter by day, the Man of Steel by night. As Clark Kent, he was a normal guy, shy, a tad nerdy, clumsy at times, worked for a living and had a romantic interest in many ways out of his league. But as Superman, we're talking about someone who is invincible, who can bend steel with his bare hands. He can fly, leap tall buildings in a single bound. He had heat vision, telescopic vision, X-ray vision. He had frost breath. And yes, he's faster than all of you. There's Clark Kent and Superman, Bruce Wayne and Batman, Peter Parker and Spider-Man, Steve Rogers and Captain America. Over the years, these characters have centered their place in the fabric of our society. They have preached from the pulpit of their comic book values important to our nation's youth. Batman showed us that with will and smarts, ordinary men can do extraordinary things. Captain America trumpeted the freedom of democracy. Spider-Man taught us that with great power comes great responsibility. And from Superman, we learned that truth, justice, and the American way are worth fighting for. There's one character in our modern culture, however, who teaches a different value system. Her persona defines this generation more accurately than any of the ones I've mentioned before. You can still find her image plastered on lunchboxes and backpacks. She can be found on shoes and t-shirts. Her picture is still on notebooks and pencils. Her posters hang on the wall of young people all across the country and probably some of our youth groups. You've probably seen her picture, parents, if you've gone any back-to-school shopping in Target or Walmart. The character I'm speaking of, if you haven't already guessed it, and she's a little out of date from her TV show, is Hannah Montana, a.k.a. Miley Stewart, a.k.a. Miley Cyrus. The theme song for her show declares that Miley has the best of both worlds. Just as Bruce Wayne donned the cape and became Batman at night, and Clark Kent removed his glasses, made a curl on his forehead, and changed his clothes in a phone booth to become Superman, Miley shrouds herself in a wig and flashy costume to become a rock star, Hannah Montana. Through Hannah Montana, Miley is afforded all the glamour that comes with that gentacular lifestyle. Something about Hannah that is preaching rings true to the modern teenager, to the teen who is one thing at church, another thing on his or her Facebook page, another thing with their classmates, and reality. Well, reality is that God created us, that God created you, young people, to live within His image and to live a plan that He defined for you. Reality is God did not create some bipolar, multiple personality young person with secrets to hide, but God created you with one single purpose in your life. And when we astound to, when we reach for, and when we fulfill that purpose, true happiness, true joy, true love, and our plans in God's hand are powerful. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, Ephesians tells us. It's a brilliant concept as Disney has proceeded to make millions of dollars off this Hannah Montana character. The promise is so appealing. You don't like who you are, so just reinvent yourself. You don't have to face the consequences of living your everyday life. You can live in your own little altered world where everything is manipulated and controlled by you. And people's opinion of you is only based on who you want them to know you are. If you don't like reality, don't worry about it. You don't need to live in it. you can go and create your own reality, your own purpose, your own image. In real life, however, the story of Miley has been a little bit different. Miley Cyrus, the actress portraying Miley Stewart and Hannah Montana, has not quite lived the easy life her show promises to her viewers. Despite clamoring to be and claiming to be a Christian, errors in her judgment that we don't need to go over today has brought scrutiny of the tabloids and ire to parents and youth leaders all across the world. Young people, if Miley had parents that had taught her that God covered her when she was in her mother's womb, maybe she would have made some different choices. If Miley had a Sunday school teacher to tell her that she was fearfully and wonderfully made, maybe some things would have been different. If only Miley had had a pastor to preach to her, to tell her to come out from among them and to live a separate life. If only she had a youth pastor and elders that would strive and tell her that she was part of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and that God had called her out to be different and he had a purpose for her life. Church, I'm glad we have parents and Sunday school teachers and a pastor and elders and a youth pastor that will speak to our youth, that will lead them and guide them and let them know that God has a plan for their lives. I want to tell you something about another man, another person that had a mask. Moses. For the first part of Moses' life, he was a man with a mask. And most of us know the story of Moses. He was born in a time when he was supposed to die. He was a baby, and the Pharaoh was afraid of the Hebrew children and said that all babies under a certain age were to die. And Pharaoh's mother and father found safety and hid Moses in the very water that was supposed to be his demise. They put Moses in a basket and placed him in this river, and Pharaoh's daughter picked him up and began to raise him as his own. But as God would direct, as God would have, as the promise and the plan for Moses' life, Moses' actual biological mother was chosen to nurture Moses at a young age. And I can imagine, and I, this isn't recorded in the books of the Bible, but I can imagine those short moments that Moses' real mother had, Hebrew mother had with Moses, that she would sing songs of the Hebrew children, that she would tell him stories of times gone by, how she would quote to him, "Behold, the Lord our God is one Lord." And she would put inside of Moses and instill in him the values and the importance of knowing the one true God. Well, as Moses grew up, he knew something was different about him. He was a Hebrew living an Egyptian life in an Egyptian world. Moses went to Egyptian schools. He was raised by Egyptian family and Egyptian culture. He dressed in Egyptian clothes and he had the power and the money of an Egyptian. But all the while, he was a Hebrew living in an Egyptian world. John 15 tells us that we are not of this world. John tells us that we might live in this world, but we are not of this world. 1 Peter tells us that we are a chosen generation. The Bible tells us that we are a peculiar people. And that although we might be living in an Egyptian or we might be living in a wicked world, we are not of this world. And something snapped one day in Moses' life. And I can imagine that Moses would, because of the power that was afforded him, he was able to just stroll along and probably flash his Egyptian dollars or whatever they were called. And he was able just to hang out and have a good time and watch all of his relatives work hard and suffer. And I can imagine that Moses saw abuse many times from that his people suffered. But one day, Moses snapped. One day, Moses realized, wait a second, I'm not an Egyptian. This is not my world. These are not my customs. These are not the things that my mother taught me. These are not the things that I know I should be standing up for. And he saw one of his Hebrew relatives being beaten by an Egyptian slave. And something snapped in Moses' mind. And the Bible tells us that he went and he looked around and he saw that no one was watching. And he murdered or he killed the Egyptian that was beating his relative, his family, his Hebrew nation. Now, I'm not here tonight to encourage that action. But some of us have lived in this world so long that maybe like Moses, we've forgotten that we're not of this world. That we've got so used to our customs and our things that we do and our schedules and the things of this world and the things that this world tells us are important, the things that culture and the media and society tells us are important. And we walk around and we see the things that are happening to our Christian brothers and sisters around the world, and yet we take a step back and we say, I'm glad it's not me. But something needs to snap. Something needs to snap in our mind and realize that we, although we live in this world, we are not of this world. And there are some things that are happening, some things that we might be participating in, some things that we might, by remaining silent, we are allowing to happen. And we need to realize that we need to take a step back and put those things to the side and realize that we are not of this world. We live in a wicked world, but we are not a wicked people. We have a God. We have a Holy Ghost. We have the Spirit of the Lord inside of us, and we should not let this world allow us to be comfortable in the things that are happening. It's the greatest deception the devil can ever pull off, is to trick you to surrendering the only thing that can defeat him. It's the power of Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Ghost inside of you. And if you will surrender that, the devil has won, because he is afraid of that one thing that can defeat him. And so I encourage you tonight, don't let your Holy Ghost guard down. Don't let the world infiltrate your mind, your spirit, your soul, but remain strong. Remain strong in the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you a little bit about David. David in the King David is, there's so many stories that we could talk about with King David. And I want to point one very pivotal moment in David's life. And we talk about David, and he was a shepherd, and he was a man after God's own heart. And he killed a bear and a lion with his own hands. And he wrote Psalms and was this powerful king. And he killed Goliath with God's help and assistance. But there is a pivotal moment in David's life that I want to point out, especially to our young people and young adults that are going back to college. I want to point out something in David's life that I think is more powerful and more pivotal than even conquering and killing Goliath. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, King Saul is chasing David. He's trying to kill David. Now, David is anointed, has been anointed the next king of Israel, and he knows, and Saul knows this, and Saul's chasing him and trying to kill him, and David finds Saul in a cave. The Bible tells us that David and his men were in the back of a cave. Okay, this is just, it's almost like God wrote the story. David and his men were in the back of a cave, and Saul got tired during the chase, and he's like, oh look, there's a cave over there. I'm going to go have a little nap. And the Bible tells us that Saul went and he laid down in the very cave that David and his men were hiding in. And David's men were whispering to him, here's your moment. Here's your opportunity. You've been anointed the next king of Israel. Now is your chance. And I can imagine the things running through David's mind. Number one, I'm surrounded by a bunch of my men, that if I kill Saul, they will cover me. They will have my back. They will lie for me. They will do whatever it is to maintain my integrity. It's a secret moment. It's a moment that David could do whatever he wants, and he knew that he would get away with it. I can see him rationalizing, I am the next king. I have been anointed. God does seem to have orchestrated this moment. But David has the power And he uses the power that God has given him to not do what he has the ability to do. Now, when he killed Goliath, he was able to do something that without God's help, he would not have been able to do. We refer to that as dunamis power. The power that God gives you the ability to do something that you can't do on your own. And when David killed Goliath, it was that dunamis power. But when David was able to withstand from or withhold from doing something that he had the power to do, that's a different kind of power. The word that's translated in the Bible is exousia. And exousia stands for a couple of different things, but one of the things that it stands for is a restraining power. And young people, young adults, when we go back to school, we encourage you to use your dunamis power by doing things that without God's help, you wouldn't be able to do. Teach a Bible study. Witness to somebody in front of others. Pray for somebody in your class, in your lunchroom. Pray for someone. Do something that without God's help, it would have been impossible to do. But church, what I think our generation needs, what I think our generation in these times needs most is that restraining power. Where we can do some things and we can get away with it. We can have certain chats, or we can talk to certain people, or we can hang out with these and do these certain things, and we can get away with it. But we need that restraining power, where even though we have the ability to, we have the strength to do, but we need God's power to allow us to restrain from and not do what it is that we can do. When you're going back to school, you want to stand out? You want to stand out? Society today loves being different. It's encouraged. You want to be cool? Dress a different way. Do your hair crazy. Say things that people wouldn't expect. But being modest, being respectful, doing what is right, and not doing what is wrong, it's almost frowned upon. It's boring. But God has given you the power of the Holy Ghost, young people and young adults, to even though society says it's okay, even though that select group of friends that you hang out with that will keep your secrets for you say it's okay, God's given you that power to not do what it is that you could do. And when you're able to overcome, when you're able to restrain from those things that you know you shouldn't do, but yet you have the ability to do, when you're able to restrain from those things, that is when God gives you that dunamis power, and he gives you that Holy Ghost power that enables you to step boldly into your classroom and look at your school as a missions field and look at your work as a missions field, not just a paycheck or an education, but it is a people that need to be saved, and you have the answer. You have the Holy Ghost. You have that power. And when we're able to be under that veil of power of the Holy Ghost, God's able to do amazing and awesome things in your workplace, in your school, in your home, on your block, in your family. Oh, imagine the testimonies that could be told after a Labor Day weekend with your family, where around a grill or around a campfire or around a couch or something, you began to testify and you began to speak words of faith and wisdom, and healings occurred in your living room or in your backyard because your family needed to hear and needed that power of the Holy Ghost. Church, you have the power of the Holy Ghost, and God wants you to use it. God wants you to enact the power of the Holy Ghost. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. You were born with a specific plan. And for us to go willy-nilly to do our own thing, to achieve our own goals, to search after our own things, to make a buck, to have some fame, to do those things. When we search after those things, that's when we stumble. That's when we get frustrated. That's when we get stressed out. But when we follow God's leading and God's hand and God's plan, and enact the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives, that's when we know if we stumble, we're in God's plan. He's got our back. If we fail, we know that God's supporting us. If we have a bad day, we know that God is there for us. And it's when we step outside of that line, when we step outside of that plan, and we do things on our own, and it causes unnecessary stress and troubles. So what is it, young people, that God has destined you to do? I can't speak to every single one of you, young people, young adults, dads, moms, grandmas, grandpas. I can't speak to what God has specifically for your life, but I can tell you this. For those of you that have been filled with the Holy Ghost, God has given you power. He has given you power, not to hog and to hold for yourself. Not to brag about, not to worship when you're just amongst some friends, but God has given you power so that you could leave these walls, that you could leave this place. You can lay your hands on the gas station attendants. You can witness to the waiter or the waitress. You can see someone that's having a bad day in your neighborhood, and you can say, I've got a God that loves you. I know a God that can heal you, and He wants to be used. He wants to use you, and He wants His power to be alive in you. So in closing, I want to talk about cockroaches, buzzards, the lily trotter, and bumblebee. Cockroaches, did you know that cockroaches can fly? When I said cockroaches, I saw the ladies like, ah. But imagine if a cockroach would realize its full potential and realize that a cockroach can fly. Cockroaches rarely do fly. Most of the time, they just scurry about. And it's when they're falling from a table or, oh, I just don't want to think about that. But cockroaches most of the time do not realize their full potential, and they crawl even though they can fly. Did you know that buzzards give up really easy? You can build a 6-foot by 8-foot pen, put a fence on all four sides, leave the top wide open, put that buzzard in that pen, and that buzzard will be imprisoned until it dies. Yes, a buzzard can fly. Yes, they do often fly. But a buzzard has a habit that since it was young, it thinks it needs 10 to 15 feet to run before it can stretch its wings and fly. And so a buzzard will be entrapped in a 6-foot by 8-foot enclosure when all it needed to do would be to flap its mighty wings and it could raise out of this structure. But the buzzard sees its situation and sees it as a hopeless situation. And a buzzard gives up way too easy. The lily trotter is a bird that lives in warmer climates. It's a beautiful bird. It walks, or it actually hops, from lily pad to lily pad. If you looked at a lily trotter, it has a lot of the same characteristics as an eagle. The wingspan, the size of the body, the feather structure, the power in its wings and its body. However, the lily trotter only hops. It's capable to fly. It has the structure and the structure and the makeup of an eagle that could soar thousands of feet in the sky. But their whole life, They only use their wings to hop maybe 10 or 15 feet at a time. However, there is a branch of dynamics that deals with the motion of air. And it takes a look at a normal bumblebee. And a bumblebee with its fat body and its really teeny thin wings. Aerodynamically, the bumblebee should not be able to fly. Because of the proportion of its wing size and its body size, the bee's body is simply not suited for flight. The bee is just too short and too fat, and its wings are not long enough to support flight. But why, Mr. Bumblebee, are you able to do what others say you shouldn't be able to do? Why, Lily Trotter, do you hop from space to space, even though you have the ability to soar above the sky? Why, Buzzard, do you give up so easily when things could be so much better if you just put in a little bit more effort? And why, Cockroach, do you just scurry from place to place when you could fly anywhere you wanted to go? So tonight, with the theme of stand out, many times we find ourselves living a double life. No, not a superhero or a Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus type of life. But we find ourselves living a life dreaming of power, praying for power, asking God for power within these walls. But when we leave this place and we're surrounded in an Egyptian world and we are a Hebrew representing the one true Lord, we find ourselves quiet and meek and scared. And God wants you to know, you might feel like your body or your life or your struggles or your background or your parents or lack thereof, the world's told you can't fly. You can't do good things. You can't succeed. You don't have the power. You might as well just succumb to the pressures of this world and just be who it is that this world wants you to be. But I'm here to tell you tonight, the Lord has given you the power of the Holy Ghost to walk boldly into your school, to walk boldly into your classrooms, to walk boldly into your classrooms or your homeroom or in front of your students or in front of your teachers, in front of your co-workers, in front of your boss. He's given you that power of the Holy Ghost. And he has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your life. And that plan is to exercise that Holy Ghost power. Because this is Extreme Days, if I could have the young people, anyone that's going back to middle school, high school, or college, or starting anew, why don't we come on up here? Some of you are starting class. Some of you may have already started classes. Some of you may be homeschooled. Don't discount yourself. Some of you may be starting a brand new school. You've moved into the area. Why don't we just go ahead and spread out? We got enough here to spread out. Some of you are going into areas that you might be concerned. You don't have friends. It's your first year in this certain school. You're starting a new major, or it's you're a freshman and you're wondering what this is going to be all like. I want to tell you this. You have the power of the Holy Ghost inside of you, and God wants to do awesome and amazing things through you in your schools, in your classrooms, to your teachers and your students. Why don't we raise our hands? And if there's someone here that does not have the gift of the Holy Ghost, I want you to know that you can receive the Holy Ghost here this evening. Parents, youth leaders, youth workers, let's come on up and let's lay our hands on these young people and these young adults. And let's pray for them that the Holy Ghost would be empowered in their lives. If you know someone that needs the Holy Ghost that's up here, let's pray for them to receive that Holy Ghost this evening and ask that God's power would be endued in them tonight.